Welcome to the Quotivation Podcast. Together, we will unlock inspiration one quote at a time. Your host is one of America's top emerging public speakers. He is a former semifinalist in the World Championship of Public Speaking and is an expert motivator. Please welcome Jody Powell.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Quotivation Podcast, where we unlock inspiration one quote at a time. And I hope you've had an amazing weekend. You're ready to move ahead and win your week. You know, sometimes so many things can happen at once. And you know, if too many things happen at one time, the feeling can be very overwhelming. And I have several things right now in my life that are seemingly coming together at the same time. This past week, an announcement was made that Abundant Television and Wrestling for Christ will partner together to bring to the world a weekly Christian pro wrestling show called Saturday Night Praise and Power Hour. And your humble host here will be one of the newest, one half of the newest, most exciting commentary team in sports. I am so looking forward to being a part of the weekly television show that will highlight wrestling for Christ and those amazing Christian athletes. It's going to be a lot of fun. I also have a speaker summit that I'm going to be hosting in July. I'll be speaking at a festival for the Wrestling for Christ promotion also in July. And in August, I'll keynote the annual meeting for a wonderful company called the Employers Network. So much is happening. Other new things are going on in my life as well. But when things feel overwhelming, no matter whether they're good things or bad things, when it feels overwhelming, we need to take a step back. We need to savor the moment. We need to experience what's happening. You know, just recently, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup was played between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. The Panthers had taken a 3-0 lead in the series before Edmonton stormed back and won the next three games to force a Game 7. Ultimately, though, the Florida Panthers came out on top, and the head coach for the Panthers were asked about the pressures of keeping a lead late in a final Game 7. And he said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that you have to enjoy the moment. We don't wish for the third period to hurry up and end just so we can win. We enjoy the process of winning. We enjoy living in that moment. You know, I hope for this week that you can find a moment of winning and that you can enjoy that process and that you can live in that moment. What a great way to win your week. So what do you say we get started winning our week right now? We'll start this off as we do every episode of the Quotivation Podcast by taking a shot of motivation. And this week, our shot of motivation is sponsored by Amy Real from Fairway Mortgage. Amy is the real deal in all things mortgage. And whether you need a first mortgage, a second mortgage, maybe you've got some property that you have your eye on, or that second home or that vacation palace that you're looking to buy, or maybe you just want to refinance, maybe you need a better deal. If you need a better deal, call the real deal in all things mortgage, Amy Real. Give her a call today. Her phone number is 864-310-9337. That's 864-310-9337. You can also email Amy at her email address, amy.real, that's R-E-I-H-L, at fairwaymc.com. Amy Real. She's the real deal for all things mortgage. And Amy's NMLS number is 486-620. And as always, thank you, Amy, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
It's time for a shot of motivation, where the vibe's like taking a shot, but the high is pure inspiration. This is a quick, powerful boost of motivation to fire up your spirit. Get ready for a rapid infusion of uplifting stories, impactful quotes, and game-changing ideas. It's the swift, potent dose you need to amp up your game and win your week. It's a shot of motivation.
Why do people have to be so mean? I don't understand it. Let me give you the situation. This past week, I was in the restaurant having lunch, and I went up to the counter to pay my bill. Handed the young man my ticket. He began to ring me up. Very, very nice kid. Very sweet kid. And as we began to converse and talk, a little small talk, I realized that this young man had Down syndrome. It wasn't obvious right off the bat. But he just smiled and was so kind. He was ringing up my order. He went to put my card in the slot to collect the payment, and the phone rang. He eagerly grabbed a pad and a pen, ready to take down the to-go order that he thought was coming in on the phone. So he answered the phone. He said the name of the restaurant. May I help you? And he stopped, and he stood there for a second. And he said, "Hold, please." And he turned and he looked, and there was a little bit of a panicked look on his face. Now, behind the counter against the wall was a window into the kitchen where they would put the food and the plates would come out. You take the plate and you go serve the table. So from within that little window, this angry little head popped up and a booming voice shouted out, "Dennis! Dennis! What's the problem? Who's on the phone?" And Dennis turned and looked at this angry man and said the name of the company. I can't remember the name of it. And he said, "What do I tell them?" And the guy's response, number one, was very hasty, very angry, but it was also very unclear. "Tell them nothing." Okay. Dennis just stood there. The receiver, a little away from his head, and he told them nothing. He didn't say anything. "Dennis, tell them nothing. What's the matter with you?" And he looked at me, and I was as confused as he was, because he was following the instructions. And then you hear the slamming of the table, and whatever he was holding, utensils, whatever, rattled in the back, and this little man comes storming around the corner, jerks the phone out of Dennis's hand and said, "I'm sorry, we don't need anything right now. Thank you very much." And hung up the phone. Then proceeded to berate this young man right in front of me. And I, quite frankly, had had enough. I said, "Excuse me. Do not talk to this young man in such a disrespectful tone. He followed your instructions to the letter. You told him to tell them nothing, and that is exactly what he did. Maybe you should have been more clear." The man, realizing that he was standing there causing a scene in front of customers, profusely apologized. "I'm so sorry, you're right. Should have never reacted that way. I've overreacted. I'm so sorry, Dennis. I'm sorry. Scurries off to the back, to the kitchen. Dennis turns to me and smiles. I know that smile. You're welcome, Dennis. Later in the week, I go back into the restaurant. And there's Dennis doing a fantastic job. All the while, this angry voice shouting and berating him from the back. The man learned nothing. He chose to change nothing. And he continues to treat this young man just as poorly as he ever has. And I don't understand. Why do some people live in a state of anger? Now listen, I've blown my stack. I've yelled from time to time. I've raised my voice. I've been sarcastic. I've said things I shouldn't have. And I get it. Sometimes that just feels good to get it out, to get it off your chest. In a sadistic way, sometimes it feels good to hurt those, especially those who are closest to us, because we know in the end they'll forgive us. And so we say things to satisfy this hunger, this thirst for blood. And yet every time, when the temper cools, when logic returns, when anger subsides, you're left feeling empty. You're left feeling ashamed, guilty, unsatisfied. What a horrible way to live. If you find yourself getting angry more frequently, here's what you need to do. You need to look around, maybe even write them down. All the things that you are thankful for. Shift your mindset into a state of gratitude. And you can't be angry. Now, the angry person is going to say, oh, that's a bunch of bull. I don't want to do that. That's all that fluffy feel-good crap. Well, yeah. Who doesn't want to feel good? Who doesn't want to have a positive attitude? Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to express joy? Who doesn't want to be grateful for all that we have? If you don't want any of those things, then what are we doing? What are you doing here? What are you accomplishing? What are you succeeding in? You think you're successful? You think you're successful in business? Great. Congratulations. Are you successful in life? Are you successful in relationships? Are you successful in spreading joy and making others feel good? Trust me, it is so much more fulfilling to make someone feel good, to offer positive reinforcement, to offer positive accountability than it is to yell, scream, holler, and put down other people. That's why leadership by fear never, ever works. It just doesn't. So if you find yourself in a state of anger, in a state of frustration, more than usual, write down the things you're grateful for. Be thankful. Change your mindset. Express your gratitude. And the anger goes away. And suddenly you look around and realize, huh, I just won my week. That's your shot of motivation for the week. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring this week's Shot of Motivation.
This has been a shot of motivation from America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. We hope it helps you win your week.
All right, let's get to our special guest this week. For over 25 years, Fred Talisman has had a dual practice as a licensed results-based marriage counselor and a second practice as a business consultant. He is most known for his mastery as a relationship coach and has shown thousands of his clients how to improve, revitalize, and/or to save their relationship to keep the family together, even without their partner's cooperation or involvement in the process. Kelly Calabrese, Personal Trainer of the Year and America's Fitness, Nutrition, and Lifestyle Expert, said about Fred, "Fred Talisman is one of the top marriage counselors in the country and is on a mission to save relationships, keep families together, and to show you how to make your relationship fully work for both of you. If your relationship has gotten off track or you just need, or you just know there can be more, Fred can show you how to turn it all around and take things to the next level." Joel Roberts, former primetime host at KABC Radio, said about Fred, "Fred Talisman, a licensed marriage counselor for over 25 years, saves and revives a dying relationship. How does he do it? Well, he's not the stereotypical marriage counselor who sits back and says, and watches couples get more and more polarized as they further talk themselves out of their relationship by giving their laundry list of built-up hurts and resentments. If a couple is drowning, he's the lifeguard, and he jumps in and does whatever it takes to save them, to buy them a second chance, a turning point. When it comes to saving a relationship, he's a bulldog. If there is a way to do it, he won't let go until he finds it. I think his strategies are a gift to couples." Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Quotivation Podcast, Fred Talisman. Fred, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Jody. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to have you here. This is going to be just a fantastic conversation. I look forward to talking about what's going on in the world of relationships. How are we going to talk to our audience about pulling those relationships out of the miry pits and out of those contentious relationships and putting them on a good path? Tell us a little bit about what you do, Fred, as a marriage counselor, and a little bit about yourself.
Well, let me tell you about my turning point.
Yeah.
So I came home one day from a meeting, and I noticed that our walls were empty. They were bare. That all the art had been stolen. That we had a break-in.
Wow!
So first I searched my wife, hoping that she wasn't there. That no harm had come to her, and she wasn't there. Thank God. And so I'm looking all around to see what they took, and then I see the note. And the note said, it was from her, and it said, "I love you, and I can no longer be with you. In any further communication, here's my attorney's name and number."
Oh, wow.
And I was devastated. I felt ashamed. I felt humiliated. How could I, a trained marriage counselor, wind up in this position?
Yeah.
And that put me on a search, and because I had no idea how unhappy she was. I knew how unhappy I was. We'd been to two marriage counselors, very well known, and each time we'd gone to them, they made things worse. Story I've heard numerous times from clients.
Yeah.
Going to other marriage counselors, my experience too. And so I became a man on a mission because I realized that the therapist, marriage counselor, is not trained to save relationships and make them work, including me. So I spent years looking for what actually works. And that's what I do now. That's what I practice in my second marriage. My wife and I have been together for over 28 years.
Wow.
And we have a great relationship. And I practice what I teach.
That's amazing. So tell me a little bit about the things that you experienced that weren't really working, whether it be from the standpoint of you being the therapist or in your personal situation. What wasn't working with the therapy and with the counseling?
Well, traditional therapy, people kind of have association with that. It's a place to just kind of let it fly. Mm-hmm. They somehow think that they have, that when the session's over, their partner has amnesia for what was said and how it was said. Never, ever, ever true.
Yeah.
Whatever you say in a marriage counseling session can and will be used against you by your partner.
It's like you should,
long time.
It's like you should be read your Miranda rights when you go into counseling. Like, listen, yeah, whatever you say, you know, it's going to be held against you later on.
I read them the rights. I do that.
That's great.
I say you have to be very careful what you say. This is not a safe environment.
So then how do you get to the root of the issue if there is concern about really opening up and sharing some of the feelings or issues that may be causing some conflict in the relationship?
Well, I'm really big in teaching people skills.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I was taught, and all therapists are taught, when I believe a false premise, then understanding creates change. Getting out your feelings creates change.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. Change creates change.
Yeah. And so change, creating change, how do you get someone there to pass the anger and the hurt to the point where they want to see change? Or is that innately just within the context of the relationship? Is there always this desire to have change, or is there just a lot of hurt feelings that you have to get past?
Yeah, great question. So what I do is I realize the foundation of skills that I need to teach my clients, give them the best possibility to get the relationship back on track and to keep it there. By the way, most of the relationships that I've fixed and or saved and families that I've kept together, I've only worked with one person, because the other person wouldn't be part of the process.
Really? And so then you teach that person how to kind of avoid those triggering moments that lead to arguments, that lead to anger and resentment. Is that how
I
it works?
I do, yeah. One of the things I teach them is how to stay connected and or to reconnect, to love the problem together in the first place. The next helped reverse their negative case, and there's partner's negative case against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Early on in a relationship, one or both people begin to create a generalized negative case against the other person, and they keep looking for evidence to reinforce that case.
Yeah.
And the bigger negative case a person builds up in their mind against the other person, the more unhappy they feel, the more disconnected they feel, the more out of love they feel, the more they use the case to justify themselves, bad behavior, and bad communication.
Mm.
So one of the keys is to reverse that negative case in your mind and replace it with a positive one. Teach them how to do that. Another is to give them a way to be able to make the partner feel heard and understood. Because when a person feels heard and understood, they're more cooperative, they open up more, and they tend to be more cooperative. When a person doesn't feel heard and understood, they tend to either withdraw, attack, or defend.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between hearing and understanding and the person feeling heard and understood. Two separate things.
Sure, sure. You can hear and understand, but it's more important for your partner to know they've been heard.
And from that
you
perception.
Understand from their perspective. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right on.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I never really thought of it that way. It's effective listening. You want to listen in a way that you're not looking to listen to respond, but you're listening to understand. But more importantly, and to take it a step further, it's not just understanding. It's making sure the other person knows that you understood them.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. And so from that, how do you get someone past the point of listening to respond? Because in I would imagine with emotions running high and those mental cases that you mentioned, you're gathering evidence. And so it's almost like we're in a situation where we're listening to say, gotcha, no, more proof. How do we get beyond that?
Okay, you said the magic words about when emotions run high. So I teach people when you're beginning to feel upset, not when emotions run high, way before that, teach them to understand that first sensation in their body, it tells them when they're beginning to go into negative emotion and to take a break. No matter how good our communication skills are, they go out the window when we're in negative emotion.
Hmm.
Too hard to do.
Yeah.
When the core foundational pieces.
Boy, I that's got to be difficult for some, and I would imagine it takes a lot of practice and a lot of skill building. How do you teach someone how to do that in a way that they can practice and they can perfect that, or not perfect it, but at least get really good at that skill without creating more contention within the relationship?
So I teach people because I realize people aren't going to practice. So I tell them what I teach you requires no practice. It requires total integration. So I say, take what I'm teaching you, have it with you on your phone, in your notes, right before contact with anybody, adult, child, or animal, in any context, especially work, review that note right before that contact. Recommit you to those skills and those concepts with that individual. Doing them all the time with everybody when you need it in your relationship or your parenting is going to be there. If you don't, it's not.
And so these skills then are skills that could have multiple uses, not only in your relationship with your spouse, but also in how you parent and how you interact with people at work, or interact with family members. Oh, family trauma is just so prevalent, and we can't pick our family, right? And so we kind of get who we get.
Right.
And so you have to work through some of the dynamics of that relationship. And so I would imagine these skills can be used multifaceted, right?
Absolutely, work in all contexts.
That's amazing. And so once do you find that once people, because you say you're usually working with one person, and the spouse or the other person is not really cooperative, is there a point where they come around to say, hey, okay, there's something to this, let's work together? Or does it get to that point? Or is that just fairy tale?
No, that's a good question, but usually not.
So the other person just doesn't even know they don't even know that they've had this experience where all of these life skills are suddenly thrust upon them, and they've been privy to that. That's really cool. But with that though, you've seen a ton of success saving families, keeping families together. What are some of the most, and of course without names or identifiable, but what are some of the most shocking situations that you said you just thought this is never going to work, but it's turned around to be, wow, what a success story.
I had a person who had cheated. That's like the hardest thing to fix. And his partner found out about it, so he had total broken trust. And she had left him, and I gave him the skills. And in fact, when he called, he said, maybe he said, I know you can help me, because you helped my friend. I know you can help me, but I waited too long to call you. I can be being a fool to even try. She's already gone. So my first question to Fred is, is it too late? I said, I can answer that. I said, there's a timing when a relationship is definitely guaranteed, absolutely over. And the timing is when the person in your position gives up. Because at that point, there's no advocate for the relationship. I'm a practical, logical, realistic person. I've heard situations so dire, I think even my help, they're not going to be able to fix them. Luckily, I've been smart enough not to tell them my opinion. Truly. And often they'll take what I teach them and they'll save the relationship. If I can't know for sure, I don't think anybody else can either. But I do know if you give up, then you've ended your relationship,
And
not your partner.
the other thing with that too is even I would imagine that even if, in your opinion, yeah, this is going to be a tough one for you to come out of, but here are the skills, and you go through the process of teaching the skills, and whether that relationship is salvaged or not, that person is prepared to re-enter new relationships, to be a better person going into them, a better communicator. And so, regardless of whether it's too late for this one, I would imagine those skills are so invaluable just moving forward just a better person.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's what I tell my clients. I say, my goal is no matter what happens, is that you win. Whatever you're getting from me now, you can use for the rest of your life to make your life better.
And that's
better.
So valuable to be able to take a skill and while it may be not able to save what you're wanting for it right now, but to still be able to apply that. Either way, the value of the added skill, the ability to communicate, the ability to communicate that not only have I heard you and understood, but I want you to know that I've heard you and I understand. It would just serve someone so well moving forward in life, just in general.
It does.
So Fred, you have a pop-up podcast, and I would love for you to tell me a little bit about, first of all, for our listeners who don't know, what is a pop-up podcast?
Okay.
And then tell us what would they gain from listening to your pop-up podcast, and how do they access it?
Okay, so this is a free gift to your listeners. And a pop-up podcast means that it's there and then it's gone. Is that when they go to my website, relationshipmagic.com, and sign up for it, they'll get 7 days access to it. It's 4 episodes. I teach them in those episodes the most important thing that every relationship needs, which is all the steps I teach my clients how to never again communicate when you're in negative emotion, which means practically the end of fighting and arguing, among other things.
Yeah.
I teach them how to make the partner feel heard and understood, loved and cared for, and appreciated, how to create cooperation from their partner. I teach them a lot of the most valuable skills I teach my clients they're going to get in those 4 episodes. They go into relationshipmagic.com and signing up for that.
That's incredible. And so that's going to be www.relationshipmagic.com. If listeners want to check it out in my episode notes, the link is there. You'll have 7-day access to this pop-up podcast. It's just going to show you how to take the steps to build these skills to fix your relationships. And if you go through this process and you listen to this pop-up podcast and you still feel like you're just in dire need, I know, Fred, you have another offer that people can do who are just in that emergent situation. Bookwithfredt.com, and tell our folks about what that offer is.
Well, if you're in urgent need, then go to bookwithfredt.com and you will get a no-cost discovery session with me, 45 to 60 minutes, so we can figure out whether or not I'm the best one to help you.
And that's amazing. That's valuable right there. And you said it, Fred. I mean, you need to be able to figure out if you're going to be able to help, and not that it doesn't work for everyone, but there has to be this chisma, this connection that you have with your clients in order for this kind of thing. There needs to be just an inherent trust. Am I right in that?
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
And so if you're in an emergent situation, relationships in dire straits, bookwithfredt.com. Get the no-cost 45 to 60-minute virtual relationship discovery session. Can be done anywhere, wherever you are. Fred can book it. It will be done virtually. You'll have that. But if you're in a situation where you're like, I'm just not sure things are working out, definitely go to relationshipmagic.com. Get that pop-up podcast. Have a listen. Put into practice some of the things that you learn there. And then decide, hey, maybe I need to reach out to Fred and really go through the process. It'd be great if both of you would do it. But even if your partner is not willing, give Fred a call. Reach out to him. And he is the guru of relationship saving. And he will dive in and help with your relationship today. Fred, that all of that is incredible. I really appreciate the free offers. I love the pop-up podcast. I'm going to be downloading it just to listen to it to learn these skills, because my wife will tell you, I could be a better communicator. She loves me to death, but gosh, I could be a better communicator. And so I'm definitely going to check out that pop-up podcast. I want to learn those skills as well. I'm excited to do that. All right, Fred, I can't wait to get into this. I've been waiting for this quote. Let's jump in. Let's get into your quote. Tell me first the quote and then who said it.
Okay. I gave you two quotes. So do you want the stranger's quote or the other quote?
Trekkie quote.
Okay. My quote is, I don't believe in the no-win scenario. And that's credited to James T. Kirk.
James T. Kirk, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, James T. Kirk. I don't believe in no-win scenarios. Fred, tell me, in all seriousness, beside the fact that, you and I can talk about Star Trek for the next probably 2 hours, tell me why I don't believe in no-win scenarios is a powerful quote for you.
I think it's a really useful belief. It may not be true 100% of the time, but if you have that assumption, that attitude, you don't believe in no-win scenarios, and you put out the time to see who has your answers, your fixes, they're usually out there.
Yeah. It's a powerful quote in terms of mindset. And I think that's where we always have to start when we're thinking about situations that we're facing, problems we're facing, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whether it's financial, whatever. A lot of the solutions are simply found by changing mindset. And if not accepting a no-win scenario, if things look dire, things look like there's no way out of this, there's always a way. And finding that belief will absolutely change the way you think about things. And in the movie, with James Kirk, you know, Captain Kirk was talking about how he beat the Kobayashi Maru, right? The scenario.
That was the context.
Yeah. And so the scenario was literally a training process for cadets at Starfleet. There was absolutely no way to win it. It was designed that way. Until James Kirk reprogrammed it to allow for an out. And people say, oh, you cheated. Well, no, he said, I changed the parameters of the test, which is amazing. And so when we think about situations that we're in where it just feels like there's no win, I think it comes down to, well, what changes can we make to change the parameters of the situation that we're in? And I would imagine that's true in relationships, right?
That is, when I've got a problem in my life, I look for who's the best expert I can get coaching from to fix that problem. Relationship, that's me. For other problems, you know, there are other people out there that are great, that make it not a no-win scenario.
Yeah. And, gosh, I tell you, it's so sometimes it's so frustrating to chat with someone or talk with someone about. And who's in the mindset of, well, there's just no way out of this. And they haven't done the legwork to look for other opinions. They hold it in. There's not this willingness to reach out and say, you know, I need help. Boy, that's the first step, isn't it? Just being willing to reach out and to overcome the self-doubt and the self-inflicted shame to say, I'm raising my hand. I need some help.
Yep, and then to find the right expert you can trust and then take what they give you and run with it. Get the results you're looking for.
And just really overcoming that no-win scenario, just getting out of the mindset of, well, I'm stuck. And you know, that's not easy in and of itself, just changing mindset. Fred, when you think about in terms of not believing in the no-win scenarios, what are the things that people need to really focus on in terms of finding those solutions? How do they get there?
Well, to me, I'm a giant believer, not just in being a coach, but getting coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look, you know, with the problems you got, you want to look for the best person you can find. And then you want to do something called suspending your disbelief.
Tell us about that. How do you do that? That's probably the hardest part, right? It's like you've ingrained in your mind that this is just a no-win situation. How do you suspend that? How do you get over that?
Well, it's you basically just are open to the possibility that you've picked an expert that knows more than you to fix the problem.
So important and so powerful to find that expert. I don't believe in no-win situations is the quote from Fred Talisman. Fred, as we begin to wrap up, as folks are going through their week, you know, I'd love for my audience to be able to win their week. And to me, winning your week really starts with winning a few moments. You win a few moments, you win the day. You win a few days, you win your week. If you win your week, then ultimately you're doing things that will propel you forward to get you closer to your goals and closer to where you want to be. Even if it's, I don't know where I want to be, but I want to get there. Okay, well, win your week and find out where you want to go. So with this quote, how can people say, well, you know, I don't believe in no-win scenarios either. How can people apply this quote to go out in their week and win their week no matter what they're facing?
Okay, I have a quick story for you.
Yes, love stories.
Okay, so when I was single, I dated a woman. One time she said to me, I wished you talked to me and treated me the way you talk to and treat your cat.
Hmm.
And I thought about that, and I adored that cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there's nobody ever in my life I had talked to and treated better than that cat. And that was one of my turning points in my life.
Wow.
I vowed to treat that girlfriend and everybody from then on in my relationship, human and animal,
mm-hmm.
as good as I talked to and treated that cat.
Wow.
All of us have somebody in our life at some point in our present or our past that we've talked to and treated the best. That's when you talk to and treat your partner, your kids, and everybody else you have contact with. And you'll win your week. You'll win your life.
Love that. That is great advice. It's not easy to follow at times. And because, you know, there are a lot of people that we come in contact with that we don't want to talk to them nicely. They get on our nerves and, you know, but really focusing on being able to just show human kindness. And that's what it comes down to. It's just being able to express human kindness, express love for your fellow man. Gosh, we just need to get back to that. That would solve so many issues that we face right now as a society. It's just the decency to each other. I think it's been lost.
Well, Jody, a way to find that has to do, because I've heard you in some of your podcasts talking about personal responsibility,
mm-hmm.
a giant fan of. So a lot of what makes a relationship work is your integrity with yourself, of how you want to be as a partner.
Sure.
You think relationship is 50-50. That approach is doomed to fail.
Mm.
People use that as a rationale. Well, I'll treat you good if you treat me good. I'll treat you bad if you treat me bad. Doomed to fail. When you have integrity with yourself, then you treat your partner the best way possible at all times, because that's your commitment to yourself as their partner.
That's exactly right. So true. I think I shared this in another episode, but I'll say it again because it's so appropriate here. Some of the best advice I got right before I got married. My father said to me, you realize that marriage has nothing to do with you. I said, what do you mean? He said, it has everything to do with her. And for her, it has nothing to do with her. It has everything to do with you. And so I think that goes to what you're saying with the 50-50. You know, why would you put in half of what you have to the relationship? It should be 100%. We should be putting 100% in the relationship, not only with our spouse, but with our children, with our family, with those that we like, those that we don't like. Those are the relationships that we should be focusing on, trying to really overcome some of that that personality rub. How can we make this relationship work in whatever the context is? And you can't do that putting in half of an effort. So yeah, 50-50 doesn't work.
Well, it's not just half the effort, it's the mindset mm-hmm. about tying how you treat another person, how they treat you.
Yeah.
Then when you're committed to treat them the best no matter what, I still teach my clients how to address the issues and resolve them.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, in the meantime, treat their partner badly.
Sure. Absolutely. The whole idea that, you know, respect is earned. Respect is given, and we should be giving if we want respect, you know, that's not up to us to decide if someone's going to give that to us. It's only up to us if we can give respect to someone. And you're absolutely right. It's all about what we give and what we commit and what we and how we treat everyone, we can't control their, we can't control their portion. That's up to them to figure out. That's powerful.
And it's the Gandhi approach to parenting and to relationship.
Hmm.
I don't know if you know the Gandhi sugar story.
I don't. Tell that.
So before Mahatma Gandhi was world famous, he was famous in his country, he used to give public audiences and really basically do coaching for people in a public forum. And this woman came to him. She said, my son totally respects you. He's a sugar addict and eats sugar. He acts really crazy. So please tell him to stop eating sugar and he will. Push your son in front of him, in front of her. And Gandhi said to the woman, he said, I'm happy to tell your son that. Come back with him in 3 days and I will. And then she and her son are dismissed. And his assistant is totally upset, whispers in Gandhi's ear, you know this woman's poor. They're going to be living on the street for 3 days. Why wouldn't you just tell her son now? Gandhi looked at his assistant and smiled. And he said, it'll take me 3 days to get off the sugar. One of Gandhi's core principles as a leader, as a teacher, as a husband, as a parent, is to live what he taught.
Wow. Wow. So he was going to stop sugar himself before he would tell anyone else to do it.
So he could be congruent. He could come from integrity.
Yeah.
And he told that woman's son to stop eating sugar because he was practicing what he was telling him to do.
I love that. You've said that several times, just coming from integrity, that's self-integrity. It's not a do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. It truly is being a model of how you know, it's treating others. It's the golden rule, is it not, friend? It's treat others the way you want to be treated.
Well, it's the golden rule and it's the platinum rule. Because the golden rule is do unto others as you want them to do unto you.
Right.
Platinum rule is do unto others the way they want to be done unto.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
In other words, each person's uniquely different. So
sure. You want
to give them in a way that feels good to them.
Hmm. The focus is so outward. I love that. I love that. And when we focus like that, there are no wins. There's no such thing as a no-win scenario when we focus on other people in that way. So powerful and great advice for everyone out there to be able to win their week this week. Fred, I want to thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. I've absolutely enjoyed this conversation. I would love to spend the next 2 hours talking about our favorite Star Trek moments. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone else would want to listen to that. But I do appreciate you being on the podcast. This has been fantastic.
Jody, thank you so much. It's been a total pleasure.
And that was Fred Talisman right here on the Quotivation Podcast. Fred, thank you so much for being on today. Your gift for helping couples save their relationship is remarkable. And in fact, Fred wants to do something special for you guys. He wants to give you a gift. And the way to access this gift is by going to www.relationshipmagic.com. And there you'll receive 7 days of free access to his 4-episode pop-up podcast series, How to Stop Fighting and to Fix, Revitalize, and Save Your Relationship to Keep Your Family Together, even without your spouse's cooperation. Imagine that. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are just struggling in a relationship right now because it seems like their partner doesn't care. They don't want to put in the work. They don't want to do the things that they need to do to work on the closeness and the intimacy of a relationship. And it just feels so frustrating because if they're not willing to, then why should we? Fred can tell you why. Not only can Fred tell you why, Fred can tell you how, by teaching you certain life skills that are going to help you connect with your spouse, even without them realizing they're cooperating. So check out Fred's 4-episode pop-up podcast by going to www.relationshipmagic.com. Check out our episode notes. I'm going to put in a ton of information about what you can expect from those 4 episodes. And if you need help right away with your relationship, check out the episode notes as well, because I'm going to put Fred's contact information in there. Reach out to Fred And he will absolutely be more than willing to meet with you to figure out how you can save your relationship. Fred, thank you so much for being on the Quotivation Podcast. Now, before you go do all of that, before you go check out the free gift and the pop-up podcast, stick around, because we've got just enough time, because it's time for the last slice of cheesecake.
How about some dessert before you go? There isn't anything that can't be solved over a slice of cheesecake. So before we wrap things up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the last slice of cheesecake.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario. James T. Kirk. Captain Kirk, Star Trek. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. So this quote coming from the good captain as they were discussing with a lieutenant who looks a lot like Christy Alley. It's because it was Christy Alley asking the captain, "Captain, sir, tell me, how did you beat the Kobayashi Maru?" And we're not talking about a hot dog eating champion, okay? We're not talking about that Kobayashi. The Kobayashi Maru was a scenario, was a simulation that was given in the Starfleet Academy. And the simulation itself was programmed to be an actual no-win scenario. There's no way to rescue the ship. Absolutely none. Impossible to do. Only thing is, Captain Kirk did it. And now this lieutenant is asking Captain Kirk, "How'd you do it? What'd you do?" Kirk looked at the lieutenant and said, "Well, I reprogrammed the simulation." Someone sitting with him just kind of smirked and grinned and said, "Oh, you cheated." He said, "No, I didn't cheat. I just changed the conditions of the test. Got a commendation for original thinking." How insightful. When there is a no-win situation, or it feels like there's a no-win situation, what do you do? How do you overcome it? When it feels like there's just no way for you to get past something or to overcome a barrier or an obstacle, there's no way to achieve a goal or to win in a situation, what do you do? You got to get creative. You got to start thinking a little bit of outside the box, even though I hate that saying. What box? There's no box. Think creatively. Think in a way that no one else has thought before. Captain Kirk decided that I will beat the simulation by reprogramming the simulation. And of course, the first thought was, "Oh, you cheated. You can't do that. Who said? Why not?" So when we're faced with a no-win scenario, when we're faced with a situation where it doesn't feel like that we can get out of it, much like Fred talked about, sometimes that's in a relationship. Sometimes it feels like there's no way my spouse is going to put in the work, the effort for us to come back and to be stronger as a unit, as a family. They're not willing to do it. I'm in a no-win situation. I'm stuck. Well, I don't believe in no-win situations. We've got to flip it on its head. You got to think outside the box. You got to do the things that no one expects. You got to think in ways that people will look at you and say, "You can't do that." Sure, I can. Because there's always a way. There's always a way to win your week. There's always a way to achieve your goal. The question is, are we willing to do the things that need to be done in order to achieve them? And sometimes the right answer, Maybe no, we're not. Sometimes we have to change the goal. Sometimes we have to change the scenario, as Captain Kurt did with the simulation. But there is no no-win situation. There's always a way. There's always hope. There's always something that you can do, something you can say, something that can be done to make the situation better, to pull you closer to your goals, to reach the top of that obstacle and overcome it. No, I don't believe in the no-win scenario either. There's always something. And if the scenario is no-win, then change the scenario. Change the situation. If you're in a dead-end job, change your job. If your spouse isn't willing to put in the work, then double the work that you're putting in so that you can match what they would have normally put in. Reach out to Fred and figure out how you can save your relationship without even your spouse realizing that they're cooperating in it. There's always a way. There's always something there available to you, whether you see it or not, for you to better the situation. You just have to find it. Because there are no, I don't believe in no-win scenarios. The words of Captain James T. Kirk, Starship Enterprise, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Great movie. Really good movie. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Quotivation Podcast. I want to thank Amy Real, the real deal in all things mortgage, for sponsoring our Shot of Motivation. I want to thank Fred Talisman. And I want you to go to the episode notes and find that free gift of that 4-episode pop-up podcast. You can have 7-day access to it. RelationshipMagic.com. And if you need Fred's help, check out the episode notes as well, where you'll find his contact information. He's helped thousands of people, thousands of families stay together, thousands of relationships salvaged. And they're thriving. And he doesn't have to be in your hometown. He can do it virtually. Ah, the magic of technology. So reach out to Fred today so that he can help you win your week. I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, stay quotivated.
You have been listening to the Quotivation Podcast, hosted by America's leading emerging speaker, Jody Powell. If you would like to book Jody to speak at your company, conference, or next event, visit www.jodypowellspeaks.com. You can also email him at Jody, that's J-O-D-Y, at jodypowellspeaks.com. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Quotivation Podcast. And remember, stay quotivated.